Welcome to a new episode of Africa with André, where we celebrate Africa one story at a time.
It has been a challenge. I can tell you our culture is hard. For a lady, for a woman, it is not easy. Just to be at the Ports Authority, I was asked to sleep with someone.
What you've just heard is the unfortunate reality for many women in Africa and in other parts of the world. I'm going to give today's guest a pseudonym. Let's call her Mary. I don't want to use her real name for reasons that you will probably understand later. She was one of the first people I wanted to invite onto my podcast because I had heard about her story of finding a job, and I found it very inspiring. She has been leading a hotel in a part of Africa for many years, and I've always been very impressed with how well she's run the hotel, looks after her staff, and looks after the guests. When I heard the story about how determined she was to get a job, I said, this is a really cool story that we have to tell. And during the interview, so much more came out that I hadn't expected. And I thought that we need to tell the story in a different way so that we can see the positive and the negative and really appreciate her determination. So welcome to this episode. And Mary, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much, André. It's nice meeting you here. Happy to be part of this.
I'm very happy that you're here as well. I once had a meeting with your boss, and he told me the story about how it is that you came to work at that hotel. He told me that you had waited outside the front gate of the resort every day, looking, asking for a job, and that your persistence impressed him. And then you started doing dusting and working in the shop, doing some filing, and worked your way up after that. Is that basically correct?
That is correct, Andrew. Do you know I walked 2 kilometers, like every day, just to meet the manager, and it wasn't easy even to come in, because the first question I was asked, do you know anybody? Do you know who is the manager? Do you have an appointment? And since I didn't know him, they will not let me, and I will walk back home.
Mary went on to tell me that she got the name of the general manager, and she went to a telephone booth back in the days where she didn't have a mobile phone, and she needed to use coins to make a phone call.
And sometimes I will put the few coins I had, and then I got disconnected because you need enough coins to wait for the call to be transferred. I was very lucky. I met very kind people. One guy was working for Telecom. He said, I see you every day. What do you want, young lady? And I said, I'm looking for a job. And all the time I bring my few coins, they are always finished before I even have a conversation. So this guy said, I will give you a chance to come in my office. And whenever you want to make these calls, use this.
That was kind of him.
So I did that. I called the reception area. Someone picked the call and asked the same question. Do you know him before I transfer the call? And this time I had a lot of confidence because I got the name. And I said, yes, I know him. I didn't know him. I lied because I worked here several times. I didn't have a chance. Immediately I got the name, it became easy. So the call was transferred. And he asked me, who are you? I said, my name. Where are you calling from? I said, I'm looking for a job. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. I lied to your reception guys that I know you, but I don't know you. But I really want to meet you because of the job. Yeah. He said, okay, come tomorrow. And I walked again the following day. And at the gate that time, I wish you could see me. I had a lot of confidence.
You must have been smiling the whole way there.
Yes, I was smiling. And at that time, my head was up. It's like I've known him for so many years. And he said, okay, come in if you know him. I was escorted to his office. He asked me questions. You want a job? I said, yes. But what you want, I don't have at the moment. Can you take anything available? I said, of course, yes.
And what job was it that you wanted?
Reception desk, cashiering. He asked me, can I see your papers? I did a diploma in clearing and forwarding, which involves custom service, import and export, custom declaration. And he asked me, you've only gotten a training from a hotel, cashiering and a receptionist, but you have a full diploma of clearing and forwarding. I said, yes, I have, but I don't know anybody to offer me a job. I did this diploma course, but whenever I went for any interview, it was not easy to get until you know someone in any office or you are ready to sleep with any man to offer you internship.
Wow, that's tough.
And I remember that time it was when AIDS was really spread all over. And then I asked myself, do I choose to sleep with someone because I want to train? Then I said, better I change my career. So I visited my uncle. He took me actually to a hotel. So I started there and I got training for 6 months with no pay. So when I was asked to take whatever was available, I said, of course, yes.
We're back at your current hotel now, where you then agreed to take whatever they have available. And what happened after that?
They gave me a business card. He said, my director's wife is the one who handles the shop, so you need to meet her. After 2 weeks, I walked again. My director's wife said, I don't need any papers. I will take you around. You will see what you're supposed to do. And it is easy. It is selling, cleaning, and you have to be honest.
Well, apart from the lying to get to know the general manager, but that's only a little white lie. Other than that, you're very honest.
But later on, I said to him, I'm sorry, I lied just because they couldn't let me come and see you.
I then asked Mary whether she'd gone through similar processes at other hotels, and she used one example to explain how tough that was.
Took my baby with me, and I left my daughter at the gate, went to see this manager, and they couldn't offer me a job. They said, we will call you. So I left. They never called me. Then because I used to go to church every Sunday, and my daughter was, she was really a charming, good-looking baby. There was this lady in church who used to sit next to me all the time and used to play with my daughter.
Yeah.
Then I asked her, I'm looking for a job, I'm new. That's how I started. And up to now, I see that lady and I appreciate her.
Of course.
I always sit with her for coffee up to today, because this is actually the lady who helped me.
Sometimes it's just a little conversation in a church or in a shop or somewhere, and you don't realize what will come of that.
I made good money for the shop. I will sell, because guests loved me.
That's something I've noticed too. But you wanted to grow. You didn't want to stay just in the shop, did you?
I remember my confirmation to this job. It was like a miracle. After 6 months, I was given a permanent job. And then I became a receptionist, customer service, then a front office manager. That is where actually I stayed for a long time.
Yeah.
But again, I was doing more jobs because I wanted to learn a lot. Do you know, immediately I started growing from shop attendant to front office manager. That is where I lost my marriage.
What do you mean?
Because I will work longer hours because I have work to do. My husband would call me and say, I didn't marry a manager. I didn't marry a receptionist. You have to be home. I need food by 7.
Okay, well, I'm sure that did not go down well with you.
I'm telling you, it was difficult. It was so stressful. One time he asked me, and remember, this is a man who is not all the time at home. He used to work, he's an engineer, he used to work all over. But when he's at home, it was stressful for me. He said, you choose either your job or me. At home, I was not allowed to say anything. Immediately, I said something, he's like, you're only a manager at the hotel, not in this house. So I will keep quiet. There will be no conversation. I came to my director and I started crying, and he asked me, what is the problem? I said, my husband is telling me I choose between my job and him. Then he asked me, so now what do you want? He said, I don't know. I love my job so much, but it is so stressful in my house. Then he said, go think about it. I did, and I remember all the problems we've had, all the stress, all the ups and downs, and I said, now, if I lose my job, what will happen?
Yeah.
And I came back and I told him, I think I will choose my job. He said, you're sure? Yes. And then him telling me, you're very smart. I promise you, you will grow as I grow. And up to now, I don't regret this. He supported me.
I'm not surprised that your boss supported you in that way. That's how I know him. How did things develop after that?
I remember going to the office and telling my GM, I want to apply for another position because I think I'm doing a lot of work and I have understood what other people do. I want to grow because I stayed as a front office manager for so long and still doing jobs which were meant to be done by my seniors. At that time, I was reporting to 5 managers who at the moment report to me.
Yeah.
Then he said to me, you can't, because this operations manager has been here for so many years, over 30 years. Then suddenly he starts reporting to you. I said, but if he doesn't want to grow, what do I do? So do you want me to resign and then come back again?
Oh, that's very clever.
Then I started doing marketing. I was in charge of local bookings, making good business. And one time I had a wedding here, which gave us a lot of money. And after this wedding, I started fighting with some managers because they weren't doing what I wanted them to do to make this wedding memorable. This fight, it lasted for some time. But remember, they were my managers. I was reporting to them.
Yep, that's not easy.
So one time, one of the F&B manager went to my director's office to say, oh, we had the wedding, everything was good, but there were a few hiccups here and there, and she did not cooperate very well. And they said we were to send more wines, but we didn't because the guests were very close to her, and I didn't charge the corkage fee because these guests, they brought their own drinks. My director said, okay, let's call a meeting. And we discussed this. The meeting lasted for hours and hours. All managers were there. And then he asked, okay, tell me what you wanted to tell me about the wedding, which to me it was successful, but you said you could have made more. Then, of course, he said, oh, we were to sell more, but we didn't charge the corkage fees because she was very close to these clients. And I asked one question. Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you approach me? I didn't hold anybody from charging the clan. And he started saying, oh, it is not once all the time.
Mary then told me about how much turnover the wedding brought in and how it was really quite awful to be attacked for waiving a really very small amount for the corkage. Yeah, that did not make her very happy.
That made me angry. That made me feel bad. I started crying and I left the meeting. In fact, my last statement was, I think from today, I will not do anything for any department. I will only concentrate with the reception work. And I will not even talk about any other department. My director was like, no, this is my hotel. We can't work like that. We need to work together. We need to sort out this. I was very angry. I walked out.
Of course.
So I came straight to the shop. My director's wife was in the shop. I took a piece of paper and I started writing resignation. And she came and said, what are you doing? Is the meeting over? Where is my husband? I said, he's still in the meeting. He said, why are you crying? I said, I'm not happy and I don't want to work here anymore. Because whenever I do anything, even the managers don't see it. After lunch, I was called in the office. My director said, okay, we will continue with the meeting. But now before we meet again with everyone, I heard your cry. My wife has spoken to me. And from today, you are the GM. I said, I'm not going to take that position, but I'm happy to start as a resident manager. That is a huge position, I told him. I want to grow slowly. I have a lot to learn before I take the position. And also, I don't want to be greedy. If you find somebody who can be a GM, I'm happy to learn from him or from her. So for now, I appreciate that, but I will take the residence manager.
And then Mary tells me that he called all the managers in and said that they would not be a long meeting, but that his announcement is that from today, Mary is the new resident manager of the property. Mary, there must have been a lot of surprised faces in that meeting.
I wish you were there to see all the faces. Remember, these are the people I found here. I was reporting to them. The tables were turned upside down. They didn't say anything. Then after almost 5 minutes of silence, this guy, the F&B manager, said congratulations. The rest didn't say a word.
That's very disappointing.
So now that is where the marathon started. It was not easy. Remember, we are living in a culture where women, they're supposed to respect men.
Yeah, this is exactly the question I wanted to ask. The comments by the F&B manager about you not charging corkage, was that something that he allowed himself to say because he's a man and you're a woman, or?
I was a threat to all of them because the way I was growing, my growth was so fast.
And how did it work after you became the resident manager? Did they eventually warm up to you or did they leave or what?
They're still there up to today.
And did you get on fine with them?
Now, yes, it was a fight. I really appreciate my director because he said one thing, don't cry in front of them. Go in the washroom, cry, wash your face, come back and fight. You will make mistakes, fine, but I'm there for you. I will correct you, not in front of them, but remember the hotel is mine and you report to me. You're very smart, but you have to fight back. The support I got from him, this is what I appreciate.
I'm happy to tell you that 5 years ago, Mary was indeed promoted to general manager and accepted the position that time.
It has been a challenge. I can tell you our culture is hard. For a lady, for a woman, it is not easy. And I see it up to now. I am very tough. They made me become tough. I have learned a lot. I respect men, of course. And sometimes, honestly, I don't look at I'm working with a man or a woman.
Yeah, you respect all the people you work with, and it's not about respecting a man more than respecting a woman. Mary, you said to me earlier that you get paid to live your hobby, which is a very cool thing to have in life. What is it that gives you so much joy doing the work that you do?
I can say my directors are flexible. Whenever I want to make good changes, they are always there. They respect the staff. They can see potential in staff. People are growing in this hotel, and that is why we are still here. Many people have stayed here for over 30 years.
That's a great achievement for a hotel, and good to see that that's the case. Now, you're responsible for a lot of people, Mary. How do you motivate your team?
To be honest, a lot of staff, they have grown from waiters to supervisors. We give them opportunity to learn different things. Today, I met a lady in my office. She's been calling several times, like me.
We've heard that story before.
Yes. And 2 days ago, she called me and she said, Madam, I'm being frustrated because when the hotel is busy, I'm always called to do a casual work, but they cannot employ me. So I said to this lady, come and see me. She was telling me a story that one of the supervisors is asking for other favors. That is why she was never allowed to bring her applications.
And just to interrupt here, by other favors, it is exactly what you think it is, that certain supervisors are looking for sexual favors in return for accepting job applications.
And I say to this lady, are you ready to take any job in any department? And immediately I finished talking to her and she was waiting for me outside. A guest came to say to me, I'm looking for a nanny. And I said, okay, I'll organize. I went to talk to this lady and said, can you take care of a two-year-old boy? For the next 3 days, you'll be paid as you wait for me to talk to the head of this department. And this lady, she's divorced. She has 2 kids. So today, she came very grateful. I'm very happy. At least I got something to take home. I'm really enjoying. And trust me, I will give this lady a job. She's very good. I've seen her papers. And this is what I do. I will support the kids. I will support the single mothers. I will support anybody who works looking for a job who doesn't know anybody. And some people want to take advantage. I talk to girls before they start work because I know so many young girls who are coming to look for jobs are being abused, are being asked for favors. And this is the only side I don't like.
This is a big problem in your country and other countries in Africa.
Yes, yes. I told you earlier that I did my clearing and filing as a subject. Just to be at the Ports Authority, I was asked to sleep with someone. So I'm looking at all the staff. I know each and every individual, how they work. I see head of departments not renewing some contracts because of some reasons. But I'm very firm because I am the last person to authorize this. And I've asked questions and I've made people work. I've made people gain their jobs again. And this is what I love most. When I get someone to have a bread and butter on the table, when I can make someone smile, when I can make someone happy, this makes me more happy.
Every time I've had the chance to spend a night at your hotel, you take the time to sit with me and chat with me during dinner, not just about work things, but just about life and what I think about the country and. But I also see you spending a big part of the evening with the guests, chatting to them, sitting with them, and I can see that a lot of them are regulars and smiling, happy to be there. How do you do that? Because that takes a lot of time.
I think this is something which is in me. And do you know what? All these guests I sit with, like all the guests are my friends. All these people I've met here, most of them I know where they come from. I've been in their homes. They've hosted me. I have traveled.
That's wonderful, and it really doesn't surprise me. Mary, I like to finish my episodes with favorites. What is your favorite part of your hotel?
My favorite place is the beach bar. You meet everybody from every country and you discuss and you have a laugh, you have a glass of wine, different cocktails, guests play different music from different countries, from different cultures. And it becomes more interesting each and every day, especially when you have mixed guests and everyone wants a certain music played. It becomes fun.
Mary, thank you so, so much for sharing your story here with us and being a part of the podcast.
Thank you very much.
And I hope that you, dear listeners, found the story inspiring and educational as well. It's not an easy story, but I like to see it as a positive story, celebrating the strength of Mary and of many, many women in Africa and in other parts of the world where there is a more patriarchal system. If you have any questions or suggestions, you can email me on podcast@africawithandre.com, and see you next time.